the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in here on Tuesday. We're back from the holiday. Amen. I know it's hard to get back to work and hard to get everything going like you want to get going and stuff, but, you know, God's going to give you strength. Amen. God's going to give you the strength you need to get through the day. Amen, amen. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And our email address is david@revministries.com or david@revmedianetwork.com. That's probably the best one to get a hold of me. I'm always in that one all the time going through my mail. So david@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. I hope you had a blessed Labor Day. I know that we had plenty of people still listening to the station off and on throughout the day. I kind of took the day off. I played a program that we had broadcasted a few days ago, last week sometime. Just ran a marathon of Midwatch with the Rev to join all the marathons that were on the TV already. Just jumped in the group and threw a marathon of just Midwatch with the Rev and of Warren Radio and other things like that. But anyway, I hope that you're being blessed on this day of faith. I hope that you're becoming stronger every day. And most of all, I hope that you're doing well and that God is touching your life and God is ministering to you. Amen. Well, I pray that things are going okay. Things are doing good things here at the station. We're still making a lot of changes and stuff. Let me give you the reminder of that event that's coming up this weekend. It's going to be September 12th. That will be on a Saturday. Just to give you an information for Kylie Newberry at Lake Houston Marina, Saturday, September 12th, from 12 noon to 5 p.m. A 12-year-old Kylie was hit by a car while trying to cross 1960 Roma's Pizza. She is on the road to recovery but needs a lot of medical care. Please come out and show your support. Activities include silent auction, barbecue plates to go, cakes and pies, music, face painting, raffles. Come for the fun. So I want you to think about going over there. Again, if you need information, let me give you that phone number. It's 832-594-4944 or 281-852-5484. Amen. Well, just to let you know that we had a fundraiser for my cousin's funeral and everything, and it looked like they did almost a similar thing as Kylie's, and it turned out to be pretty good. Everybody was there able to cover all the funeral costs, and that's a good thing. And they're able to make sure that everything was taken care of, and now it's all left now is to go on to take care of the children, and we're going to be putting together a website about that. It's going to be called Rebecca's Story, and we're going to have that online and going to talk about her survival and how she went so far and with faith, and then we're going to talk about an update with the kids as they're growing. And that way it's a memorial for her, but it's also a foundation that can help support her children. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, and I know that you've probably went onto our websites and you probably did not find some of the archives that you used to see, and I apologize for that. We shut down some of the sites. We're improving things. So I went ahead and just pointed them back to Rev Media Network and to our archives on there. And we're gonna load up the rest of the archives like we used to have on Midwatch with the Rev, Survivors by Faith, and Relationship Series. We're gonna do that. It's just taking some time to build. It takes a little bit of time to get all this stuff going. I'm trying to get my cousin Felicia. She's gonna try and help me put some of these sites together. She's really good, and a lot of times you gotta not do everything yourself. And that's what we're gonna talk about today. We're gonna talk about that. And knowing that you have to be able to let others do things. It's not easy sometimes when you have a vision in your heart and you have a vision in your mind that you can just go ahead and let someone else operate in it and do things in it. You have to be able to trust them, and you have to be willing to recruit people. Another thing is you got to find people that want to help. So many people are and it's true, because if you look out there, And you see everybody that wants to be used by God. And you see everybody that's doing something and wants to be. Well, they say they want to be used by God, and they say that they want to have certain things happening in their lives, and they want to see God move in a strong, strong way, and they want to make themselves available to God and stuff. And I run into it a lot. I see a lot of people say that, and a lot of people want to be used by God. But the true person that wants to be used by God is going to make that their primary focus. They are. I'm serious. I've worked with a lot of people, and there's different things, and I don't want to make fun of anyone or judge anyone at all. I don't want to do that, because it's like in my back of my mind, I always hear if I'm about to judge someone or talk about them in a negative way, I catch myself, because I just don't want to see that. I just don't want to. I think of this is the image I think, and if you just hold on 1 second, I'm going to play it. This is the image I think of when I start to think of negative things about people. This is what I hear. No, I'm just playing. That's not exactly what I hear, but that's part of it. That's part of it. And the only reason is because, you know, you have to be careful. There's constructive criticism and there's criticism. And there's people out there that probably want to be used by God, but they're not sold out 100% like you. I mean, there's things they got to do, things they want to run to. I've had the privilege of knowing a lot of people over the years, and I can see the ones that are sold out and the ones that are just glad they're serving, and then the ones that are want to serve, but they just do not get a hold of it. They do not work on it. They don't take it all the way. They'll take it to a point where they will actually want to be available and may show up for a meeting or two, but then they're gone. They don't come back. And the ones that are like that are the ones that you got to be careful with, because they want to be used by God so bad, but they do not commit to do things. And what happens with them is they're easily offset or offended or something like that. Well, as you can tell, my voice is better. I'm actually messing with the microphones right now, trying to get the right level. My voice seems to be louder since last week, and I had all the microphones set for last week on my voice. So if it's too loud, just turn your radio down or turn your internet speaker, your speakers down a little bit while I try and get the adjustment for us. But think about it. There's so much stuff that we have to get done for the Lord. I mean, if I spent hours upon hours upon hours working, I still will not get it all done. In fact, a lot of things are backlogged or just trying to get things to a point where I can get to it, because I need helpers. I need people to do this stuff. I need people that have gifts in certain areas to step in, and a lot of us don't do it. A lot of us, it's like they have to hear the voice of God speak to them in a certain way, or they're not going to help at all. I have many people that tell me, yeah, I'm going to help, or yeah, I'm going to be a part of this. It's something I want to do. But you never see them. I'm going to tell you one thing. When you're working for God and you have a heart to do what God wants you to do, and He's given you an opportunity to do it, I give you some really good advice. That is, do it. Do it. It's when we sit back and we do not go for it, it's when we get doubt, and whenever we really need to step out and do things by faith. Sometimes there's just opportunities to help someone and to be a part of something. And everybody wants to pray, and it's great to pray, don't get me wrong. And they say, we've got to pray about that. Well, sometimes you just got to help people and do something to help them. You can't just pray and never come with an answer, and the guy needs you to help do video, or the guy needs you to help do audio, or the guy needs you to help do something on the websites, or do something on whatever. Sometimes it's just breaking down the stuff at the church and putting things away. Sometimes it's cleaning or picking up a Sunday school and doing a Sunday school or doing a children's church or doing something that you normally don't want to do, but you just jump in and help. Just a little bit of help. But I'm telling you this as a person that has vision and a person that wants to see impact in people's lives and that is seeing an impact online right now with people listening on this station. I'm telling you about this as a man that's going to counsel and continue to counsel men and women of God with the Word of God. That sometimes it's not the big event. And that's the thing. We want the big event. We want the big event to be a part of. It's not the big event that's going to make the difference. But it's you showing up and just doing Sunday school. It's you showing up and just trying to make sure things are taken care of so church can start. It's you getting the communion ready. So there's some things we don't like to do. I do not like to take tithes and offerings. I am not the offering guy. But I do it because it helps pastor. It helps him not have to do every single thing on the surface and seem like just a one-man show. And it helps him be relaxed so he can come in after the offering and do the service and the preaching. I mean, I don't like doing that. But I do it. I just go up there. I do what I have to do. And then in the evenings, I also do that, but I preach as well. Now, the thing I'm talking about is sometimes we have to do what we're not comfortable with or what we don't want to do to see God's work take place. Many people have promised, oh, we're going to help you with your station, and they probably will. But I haven't gotten anything back, and people get busy. And, you know, I had a work day probably like a month ago, and nobody showed up. And it was disappointing. I did have family and come by and they helped and stuff. But, you know, you want to see people honor their word. And that's something that we don't have a lot of in this society, is we don't take value in our word at times. And I'm not saying everyone. I'm saying there's a huge part that don't take value in what they say. They're going to say anything to get anything done. They got that salesman walk and talk, and they're just selling and selling who they are and what they are. And it's not right. Because if you say you're going to be somewhere, if you say you're going to be doing something, then you need to be doing it. You need to be doing it. You don't need to wait until you're asked 110 times, but you have to do it. You have to help. I don't know how many people out there would say, how many pastors out there in the churches would say that the people out here in their area are not committed to going the extra mile. They're committed to showing up, but they're not committed to finishing. To finishing. Finishing means to complete. It means to wrap it all up, that it's done, that nothing else can be done. That it's over. Finished means that you don't need anything more, that you're complete. Just like when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is done, it is finished." The death part is complete. Nothing more. Dead is dead. He's dead. All that was done, everything he had to hang on the cross was hung. All our sicknesses, all our diseases hung on that cross. So when I'm speaking about done or finished, it means completing the complete task that God has put before us, which is saving those that are lost, helping those that are in need, and being a blessing to those that need a blessing. It's okay to give when you give, but you have to give consistently. You do. I don't speak about tithes and offering much, but you do. For your church to continue the growth it needs its sheep to continue to give consistently. That's how budgets are made. That's how debt is retired. And that is how blessings flow into your life. As you give, man shall give to you, the word says, and to your bosom. So I want you to think about that. I want you to put that together. I want you to figure out what I'm trying to get into your heart. And that is that we have to do what we have to do when we don't want to do it at times. I know getting up Sunday morning sometimes for a lot of us is kind of difficult. Especially maybe when that's when it's your only day off and you want to sleep in. You know what? See if there's a night church, or see if there's a Saturday night church, or see if there's an evening service on that Sunday. But whatever you got to do is commit. Right now we're trying to get some members to increase our membership at our church. And our pastor, he's really trying to figure out different ways to do it. And one of his ideas was to get on the television. His other idea was to get on commercials, back and forth commercials. And the other idea was to go and put these door knockers around the neighborhoods and stuff. Now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what we should do. I've been quiet on that because I believe sheep reproduce sheep. That's something I believe. That you, as a sheep, should reproduce yourself and more sheep through you. I don't worry about the numbers. I worry about the quality. The quality of the service, the quality of the ministry, the quality of the preaching, the quality of the worship. That the church is available and open for those members that we do have. So I know that God has plans to grow us, and he does, but he hasn't showed me. And as associate pastor, I just hang back and wait. I pray. I talk to the pastor about things. But I don't know exactly where we have to go. Maybe we should go to a church growth seminar. Maybe we should sow seeds into a church that is growing really big. That's something that we have to think about. That's something that we have to do. But all I'm saying is you have to be faithful to your part and help him where you can. When you're part of a church that has very little people in there, you're going to find you doing everything. And you don't get burnt out, please. But don't be begrudging either. You need to make sure that your heart is right every time you come in. Okay, it's easy. It's so easy to get, and the devil wants this to happen. It's so easy to get dissatisfied with a church. It's so easy to find excuses to complain about a church. It's so easy to not get up in the morning. Trust me, it is so easy to sleep in. It is. It is easy not to do anything and just watch television all morning and go get your brunch somewhere nice to eat on your day off if it's Sunday. It's easy, very much so. But contemplate, think about it. See where you're supposed to be at right now in your heart. I guarantee, and I can almost guarantee, nobody can guarantee this, but I can almost guarantee that you're supposed to be where you're at. Now, maybe 10-15% of us are probably in the wrong place. But a lot of times, we're in the right place. But we're just not content. The Bible speaks a lot about contentment, and we're not going to get into that. But I want you to study that, to contentment. We talked about Solomon, and he was never content. His heart was filled, his soul was void because he had every pleasure in the world and he held nothing back from himself at all. He had as many women as he wanted, which was a sin. He had as much money as he wanted. He had as much possessions as he wanted. He had land. He had power. He had everything. He said, I withheld nothing from my eyes. No pleasure did I not take from myself. So you see, he took everything, but he said all was vain. All was void. All meant nothing under the sun. He could not quench that hole in his heart or soul he was not content. He was searching, and everything he looked at, he could not find what he needed. Why is that? Because God is our contentment. So your praise and worship is not the best praise and worship. The Bible says in the Word of God, "For I have said," Hebrews 13:6, "Be content with such things as you already have. For I have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And it also says we learn to be abased, we learn to be abound in Romans, to suffer need. In other words, we learn to have and to have not. The Word of God is full of words of contentment. It is adapting our minds. You know, it's again back to the belief mechanism that we're going to be talking about soon enough on the show at all times. We'll be talking about this, not at all times, mainly on Mondays and Fridays. But it is the contentment that needs to be challenged. The belief mechanism of why you're not satisfied. The belief mechanism why you're not happy with what you have in front of you. Do you need a 12-set orchestra playing to you that you can be happy? Do you need a great guitarist, a great pianist, a great praise and worship leader that just takes over the service? Can you be content with a pastor just singing from a CD? I ask you these questions. I ask you these questions. Are you more comfortable in a 500 to 1,000 member church than you are just in a simple church with 100 or less than that? I ask you this for a reason, my friends. I ask you this for a reason. Can you be content with that? Can you be satisfied? Because it doesn't matter what the praise and worship looks like. It don't matter what the building. You could be meeting in a hotel. You could be meeting at the pastor's house. You could be meeting anywhere but a structured building for a church that is set. You can be picking up and taking down every Sunday. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are in the house of God, serving God, and you're content with God. That God is your contentment. And that you're serving in whatever capacity you may be serving, from children's church pastor to associate pastor to even pastor, because I really feel if some pastors are even listening to this right now. And I want to tell you right now that you don't have to be, you don't have to have everything that you think you need to have to be successful in church or ministry. All you have to have is an open heart, a willing mind, and the power of Jesus saturated inside your bones. That's what you need. That's what you need, my friends. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. God bless you. Hey, and you need to remember, try and purchase my book. I'm looking at the book sales, and they weren't too promising this last month. So we're going to see about getting that shaped up and do some marketing on that. God bless you. We'll be right back. Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you've had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutOfGrace.com, you can go there, and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book and why I wrote the book, visit AlmostOutOfGrace.com.
almostoutofgrace.com. You can get through there through revministries.com, or you can go straight to almostoutofgrace.com, and you'll be able to see why this book came into existence and how it came into existence through radio shows. God bless you. Please purchase the book anywhere books are sold, or you can write us at P.O. Box 5172. Send us a check, money order. We also take credit card. If you want to call in at 888-241-0768, hit extension 2, and we'll be able to help you in the bookstore. God bless you. Thank you. Again, Almost Out of Grace will be a blessing to your relationships. Hi, this is David Yanis, host of MidWatch with the Rev, and General Station Manager for Rev Media Network. Just want to tell you about GodChristianTalent.com. Again, that is GodChristianTalent.com. It is a website that has a database full of actors, actresses, models, singers, people that have unusual talent, or just any normal talent from any normal Christian person that wants to be used by God. GodChristianTalent.com. They could be just help workers. It could be anything that you need. If you can just go ahead and log on at GodChristianTalent.com.
Welcome back. This is your host, David Yanis, and the microphone seemed to have slipped from its setting, and I just picked it up. Sorry if you heard any craziness coming to your mic. God bless you. Well, I just want to know that we are trying to get some things going here on the radio for you. We have different shows, and what we're needing is actually some, if we could find anyone that is a woman of God that would like to have a show on the station, we are opening and hoping that we can get some out there, someone that can help do this the ministry as far as starting their own show here, because we have plenty of guys on the radio, but I think the women's ministry needs some women minister. Not that the women won't listen to men, but women see things and hear things and do things differently as well, and we want to have the variety that we need for the station. We want to have that going, and we want to have that make happening and things moving on people's lives. So if you're interested and you are a woman of God and that you want to do a show, please contact me. You can give me an email. If you can email me at david@revmedianetwork.com, david@revmedianetwork.com, and we'll be able to get you on the air. Another thing we're trying to get is some people that know how to act. I need to get some Christian actors. I know we have the Got Christian Talent commercial that you heard there before the microphone went off the blink there for a second. And I want to make sure that you know that we have different things that we have planned and some different things that we're going to shoot. So we're going to need some Christian actors and stuff to be a part of that. And what we're needing is people that just want to help do the productions as far as workers on the production set, but also we're going to need actors. This is a huge thing we're going to make. We're going to make our own hell movie, and we're praying and seeing how big this is going to be. I'm going to start writing it as soon as I finish my next course. I want to get that course out of the way, and then that way that's the last studying I have to do as far as school-wise, and I can get that out of the way, and that way I can be content. Content, the word we're using, right? Be content that the education part has been met and that I can take my time and put my time and effort into putting the actual stuff together and writing. And once we got the script, we're going to, of course, start shooting immediately following that as well. So we've been talking about being able to be satisfied, and it's important that you listen to this part, but as being able to be satisfied with wherever you're at. Maybe your church hasn't seen the growth that it needs. It's so easy, very easy, just to get in your car next Sunday and go to a bigger church. Very easy. Extremely easy. It wouldn't even take a thought. No one is tying you to that church. No one is making you get up at the time you get up to get to church. No one is making you go there. Nope. No one at all. No one is saying that you have to be at that church. Maybe God is impressing that in your heart. But no one gets you up in the morning and makes you drive to that church or park there in that parking lot and walk through the door, go through the door and go to your normal seat or go to your normal position in that ministry. No one. It's your choice. And because it's your choice, there's one thing you have to also do, and that's choose to be satisfied. Choose to be content with where you're at. Now I'm going to read you the scripture. I found it during the commercial, and I think that's what I did was I usually have this microphone secured more, but I was messing with my Bible. And anyway, Philippians 4:12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. Write that down. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I'm going to read this one more time. Here we go. Philippians 4:12. I know how both to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I am instructed. Instructed. Instructed means that you go ahead and you can take instruction. You can make things happen in your heart. Let me read you another translation of that. And this is going to be, we have two translations of this, and I'm going to get these other two Bibles out that I really want you to listen to. I really want you to get this going. Oops, my Bible fell. Apologize. Let me get this ready for you in just one second. Okay, and sorry, I had to mute you for a second so I can run over there and pick up the mess I just did. And this is going to be from the Amplified, and we're going to read how this comes out, and I think that you're going to enjoy it. Here's 4:12. This is a smaller Bible. It's like looks like a little dictionary, and my eyes have to squint them to get this. I know how to be abased and live humbly in strained circumstances. I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation. Whether well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare or going without and being and what? That was awesome. Let's read that again. I know how to be abased and live humbly in strained circumstances. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation wherewith well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare or going without and being in want. And you know what that secret is? Let me read that to you. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's in the Amplified Bible, Philippians 4:12. And that's a good translation. Very good. I like that. I like how that read. That is powerful. Very powerful. Now, we're going to read the American Standard Bible and see how it sounds. I think they amplified one on that one. It has got some power going for it, I think. Give me one second. I'll be there. I got to play with this real quick, try and figure it out. But it's the thing that we're trying to talk. It's the theme that we're trying to put across today, and that is that we have to be happy no matter where we're at, what church we're at. It's so easy to get up and go anywhere and listen to the Word of God in any home, house of God. But it is important that you stay where you're at, especially if God has you there and a work is being done. Don't ever make a decision on the church you're going by the numbers or the music or even by the preaching. If God put you there, there's a reason. Philippians 4:12 in the New American Standard Bible. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The King James, my favorite, read the verse 13 is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So, Amplify and New American Standard, similar. Let's read New American Standard one more time. Then we'll put these Bibles up. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And the King James? See, it reads there, I have learned the secret, and another one says, I am instructed. I know abound and everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Either way, my friends, God wants us, let me put these back before I fall on my head again. God instructs us that we need to be able to get things done, to get things moving. And the only way you're going to learn, my friend, is if you are governed by what you see and what you hear and what you do, if you are governed by how you act on what you see and things like that, then it's going to be hard for you to grow in God, because a lot of times ministries start with nothing and build into something. So, don't go from church to church just because you don't like the music. Don't go from church to church just because you don't like the pastor's preaching. Don't go from church to church because you just want to not be a part of a small church. And I'm speaking out of the heart of the small church, because, you know, we're part of a small church right now, and we're trying to help them grow and help things happen. And we're just all doing our part, and let me rephrase that. We're part of a small membership, but we have a huge church. And that's where we're able to put our station in the church and stuff. So, I see some great things happening. I just want to encourage you and pray. Let's all pray together. How about that? We all pray together for this month on how to build our church and how to build your church. How to make it grow. How to make things happen. It's important that we learn how. It's important that we learn how. It's important that we put ourselves at a spot or at a place where we can actually see God's work. Regardless how many people are being saved, how people are being moved. Sometimes you really don't know what church you're going to be a part of, but you just join it to do it and to be a part of it. And you just fit in. Maybe God didn't send you there. Maybe not. Who knows? But you're just there and you're just going through the motions. And you're just helping and doing. And that's fine too. I don't care what other people tell you. That is fine. Because you're going to learn. Regardless if it's supposed to be the place you're supposed to be there. Or the place you're going to go to later. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Forgot to tell you that we're on our Chatango account, and I usually use my laptop, but it was not going to turn on in the next few minutes, so we're just going to leave that on there. I'm going to believe that all the streams going to go fine through the internet, even while we're on the computer here. It's fine. Seems to be working. So we're on our Chatango. If you want to talk, you want to let us know what's going on, we're here. But I do believe this, my friends, and this is something I really believe in my heart. We miss opportunities. We do. We miss opportunities. I'll explain that when we get back from our commercial. And this time I'll make sure the microphone's secure as it's playing, because I don't know why that microphone just fell out of the blue and the whole audio went. But anyway, here we go. God bless.
Oh. I'm going to take this time just to thank all the hosts that have sent in their shows and have been at the studio, at the Auxiliary Studio, trying to get everything going and trying to get their programs on the air. This is a huge effort to try and get a station like this put together within the next month or so. The next few weeks, we'll be putting the actual shows through the main station at the church that we have, the property that we have, and we're going to be broadcasting this live 24/7 like we're doing now, but we're going to have more programming at that time. I have churches that have agreed to sign up and to send their MP3s and their CDs to us so we can get this thing going. Now, if you're interested and you like the broadcast, let me tell you this for just 1 minute. We have people from Russia, Netherlands, China, Belgium, Spain, Africa, all listening. I can go online, I can show you statistics and show you who's streaming and who's hearing from those countries. We have very, very up-to-date software. We have the latest information available to us through the web that gives us the ratings and stuff of what we're doing out there. And we're touching people. People are listening anywhere from, 3 minutes to 15 minutes to even an hour at a time. So don't think this is just going out to deaf ears. I believe this is touching and reaching people. I believe that you can be a part of this. It's very simple if you want to host your show from where your location is, or if you want to come into our studio and you're in the Houston area where you can actually do the show. You don't have to be in Houston or have to be at our studio to actually have a show. Revenue Network will be able to get you to where you got to go. You can be one of the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts available and around this world. If you do have material, please contact us at 888-241-0768. You can hit my extension, it was extension 5, and that'll get straight to me. Or you can go ahead and write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We can send us your CDs through that way. And also, you can email me, therev@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Thank you again for listening. Hi, this is David Yannis, the host of Midwatcher at the Rev and the station manager for RevMediaNetwork.com. Just want to take a few minutes to talk to the pastors out there and the ministers out there and the missionaries out there and the Bible teachers out there that have these books all stored up inside their brain, stored up on their material, stored up on their computer desk that have not been able to get published or have not been able to even get out to the public in any form. I have a publishing department. It is called Rev Media Publishing. It is a subsidiary of Revelation Ministries. It has been publishing a book since 2005. We've been able to create templates, been able to typeset, be able to get ISDNs. We've been able to get all the information that you need to get your book published. This is a great opportunity for those people that do have books that are ready to go. Go to RevMediaPublishing.com. Again, that is RevMediaPublishing.com to find out more information about our programs, more information about our packages. But let me tell you this. Many of us have sermons that have been preached, and we have written down. How about you take those sermons, you put them together, and you make yourself a book. And you get this book, and this book is available to millions of people through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, through your own website, through our website, and his network around the world. Wouldn't God want the Word of God that he gave you inspirationally to put that sermon together available again and again and again and again? Not only is it a tape or a CD, but it's in book format, and you can take it anywhere. You don't need no electronic devices, just a little bit of light, and you can read your book. Go to RevMediaPublishing.com. Again, that is RevMediaPublishing.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. God bless you. Thank you for listening to our show. We have about 10 minutes left, so I want to get into some more material before and give you some good send-off for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have Pastor Mike Salazar on the air, and let me lower the volume on my laptop because I just was able to get that back on for us. And just let you know that we're going to be talking about strength, and we're going to talk about building that strength and believing that God has given you that, as well as leadership. And had some questions I'm going to ask him tomorrow, and I wrote some. He did a fabulous job ministering at the funeral for my cousin, and I just want to make sure that we cover some of that and just try and get that going, try and get this happening. And here's an article that I've been saving that I'm going to talk about because it goes on to set with what we're talking about. It says, and this is an interesting article. I don't know if people were not wanting to talk about this as an issue because of the way America is right now on the Homeland Security and on just having a religious service and stuff. We talked about the pastor in Phoenix that they gave him sanctions and fines for having a service, just having a prayer meeting, not really a church service, but they raided his house and everything, and they gave him several charges, 100 charges that were put against him for that, and they had several dozen uniformed and police with jackets on to just serve a warrant and check his house and stuff. Ridiculous. Very, very ridiculous. And I need to catch up with Dana and check out where that story's at and see how that's going. But here's just an article. It says, few Americans attend house churches. A survey reveals. While worshiping in house churches is common in many countries, it appears that only a small number of Americans participate in this form of local church in the strictest sense. Only 3-6% of all adult Americans say they are part of a group of believers that meets regularly in a home or place other than a church building that is not part of a typical church and is self-governed, according to the latest report by the Barna Group. This article was found in the Christian Post. It is, the date on this article is August 31st, so just last week. All right. But when the California-based research firm broadened the definition of what constitutes a church, the number of the people saying they have attended one in the past month jumped to as high as 33%. So first it said very, very few, 6%. Only 3-6% said that they attended a church at home. Now they changed some of the scope of the definition of a church at home and then jumped 33%. So we claim that about 5% of the adult population is currently engaged in a house church based upon the most stringent of the questions we have developed, said George Barnon, who oversaw the process of studying the house churches for the report. With growing numbers of conventional churches attempting to incorporate both the house church concept and the language in their ministries, it becomes increasingly difficult to get an accurate reading, he noted. When Barnes simply asked the question if they attend a worship service in someone's home, known as a house church, that is not associated with the local congregation type of church, and about 10% of the adult population claimed to have done this so in the past month. That figure increased to 22-24% when the word worship service was replaced by religious service. Then, the proportion increased to 1/3 of American adults when the survey asked if they experience God or express their faith in God in a house church or simple church meeting in the past month. This definition does not exclude house churches that are affiliated with congregational form churches. So, and I grew up in a culture here in America as well, that we all grew up in the culture that people have church services at home now. No, in India and in places like that and in other countries, they have church services in their houses because they don't have buildings, as many church buildings as we do. A lot of times, they're underground churches to hide from Muslims and stuff. So those are, because it's very common in other countries to have a church or church service in a place like that. But as you can see in this article, it's not common here in America at all. Not as often as you think. But those that have grown up in that have gone, and especially in the Hispanic culture, they've gone to home churches, and they've been using houses for churches and stuff to worship. Now, as you can see right here, that the church itself, now there's a lot of churches that now are doing their Sunday night service at churches, at houses. Instead, they'll have, okay, we're meeting at Brother So-and-so's house, we're meeting at Sister So-and-so's house for prayer meeting. Sunday night is Sunday family building night, and we're going to be meeting at such-and-such home and such-and-such home. If you live in this side of town, you go to this place, and this side of town, you go to that place. Now, that's very common now. And it's very common for our church to start from someone's house. In fact, Rod Parsley's entire ministry started from his backyard or his parents' backyard. I can't remember which one. But it was from one of their backyards, and they met there for several times in the backyard and did service. And then eventually they moved from the backyard into a facility, and then a facility, and then to, from there on, and there on it grew and grew. Now it's Harvest Church, and it's Harvest, and it's Breakthrough Ministries, Rod Parsley Ministries. So there is several ways churches start, and it's been through some, most of the time in our heritage, in our culture, it had used to start from a church, from the house. But now it's not like that. Well, 1/3 of church activities do happen at a house. So that's a pretty good statistic there. Each question is measuring something different in its own way. Each question is accurate and useful, said Barna, noting that the measurements are not interchangeable. He warned, people who use research data must be careful that they are accepted as fact is based on objective and knowledgeable measurement of the matter under scrutiny. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, in other words, you have to know exactly what he asked and what the data was used for to get that. And we don't know all the parameters. I guess you'd have to read their full article or read something on there. But the report is based on a dozen nationwide surveys concluded or conducted via telephone among representative random sample of adults over the past 5 years. Each of the studies were based on a sample size of about 1,000 adults. So, just for you to know, America, we still have home churches. And I started a church from my house some years ago in 1999, I think, or 98. Let's see. 99. Had to be 1999. We started the church. And we did that till 01, 02, maybe 3 years. So it started that way. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it at all. So I just want you to realize, I want to read that to you so you can realize that things are happening around you in your neighborhood, that it doesn't matter where you're, it doesn't matter, but you just got to show up and do what you're supposed to do for your ministry, for your pastor, for your church. It may seem tedious and boring at times. And I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes it's hard for me to sit down and take in some other services and preaching, because I'm used to always being the one out there putting the service out there and doing things for the Lord for the service. So it's easy, very easy, not to get things done. Very easy to get bored with the things that you are doing. Very easy to get bored. I believe that this is where that scripture, Philippians 4:12, is talking about. That you have to learn to be abased and abound. I am instructed. I have learned a secret, as the Amplified said, that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I have learned a secret on how to be filled and how to be hungry. I can do it. And that's what we need to do. We need to do the same thing. We need not to worry about what we don't have at our church, what we want in our church. And I'm speaking to myself when I preach this. We have to be able to make sure that we have God completely into this whole thing. If you're there to save souls, then save souls. Don't worry about what's playing. Don't worry about who's preaching. Trust God that you're there and you're doing your part. Amen? Amen, my friends. It has been a blessed show, my friends. I'm glad we were able to talk after the weekend. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope things are fine. We're going to get through this week together. We're going to be blessed. And that is our whistle, my friends. Letting us know that the show's up. Our time's up. God bless you, my friends. Listen to us here on RevMediaNetwork.com. Anytime you turn on our station, you're going to hear someone talking that's influential, powerful, very high-profile speaking man of God. Really, just great men of God. That's what we got. We got plenty of great men of God. Thank you again for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. God bless you. I'm going to go to the hospital.